Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Sweet.
some way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing then in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 maidens which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. While the bridegroom tarried, the 10 maidens all slumbered and slept.
This parable spake Jesus unto his disciples as they sat on the Mount of Olives.
Always a bridesmaid, but never a bride.
It's not funny.
I think it is.
Why don't you girls stop your fussing? We're all fortunate to be chosen to go to the wedding.
Yes, we are.
I know. When are we supposed to be there?
No one knows. At least no one told us. Only that we're to be ready and waiting at dusk.
Well, then we'd better take lamps.
That is one of our specific instructions.
Then I'm going to get mine this minute before I forget it.
All of us had better.
Yes, we have.
Let's go right now.
Do we all have our lamps?
Yes, I think we all do. We all seem to be dressed properly.
Yes, I think so. Then we better hurry to the gate and wait. It's getting to be dusk.
Yes, it is. Right. It's getting very late.
Where's the bridegroom supposed to pick us up?
There is a gatehouse. We're supposed to wait in it.
Come on, girls, away to the wedding.
Oh, yes, let's go.
This isn't a very comfortable place to wait.
It isn't supposed to be. In fact, it is uncomfortable. If there was just something we could do to pass the time.
Day is done. It's night when no man worketh. Anyway, all is done. We helped make the bride's dress, we made our own dresses, and we helped the bridegroom prepare the wedding supper.
Yes, I think we've done all we can. I think we have earned the right to be invited to the wedding.
At least the bridegroom must think so. He's inviting us. All we have to worry about now is to be ready when he comes.
Well, aren't we?
Oh, I hope we haven't forgotten anything.
I know I haven't. I'm ready. Let him come and come quickly.
Oh, I hope he comes very soon.
Why doesn't he come?
Don't be so impatient. He said he'll be here and he will.
But look how late it is. Almost midnight.
He said only that he would come sometime after dusk. We shouldn't worry about it. He knows what he's doing. We should be sure we're ready for him. The rest is up to him.
I'm sleepy.
Well, I see no harm in taking a nap, just so we have everything in readiness for his coming.
This is going to be a wonderful wedding, the best the world has ever known. Mm. Better even than anyone has ever before thought of. The bridegroom is very wise, thoughtful, and a charming host.
That's what I hear.
Oh, hard.
They say that he has left nothing undone, absolutely nothing. That he has thought of everything for the comfort and happiness of his bride and guest. We are fortunate to be included as guests, don't you think so? Oh, she's napping.
My lamp. Oh, here it is.
Yes, where's my lamp?
Where's mine? Oh, do we have to have our lamps burning?
Absolutely. Your light must be shining.
But I don't have any oil. So busy, must have forgotten.
Oh, I don't have any oil.
I'm certainly glad that I remembered mine.
Yes.
I don't see why we have to have the lamps lighted and shining. After all, we were busy getting things ready for the wedding. Surely the bridegroom will let us in. I don't see what difference it can make not having the lamps lighted.
Everything makes a difference. Every little thing that the bridegroom told us to do. As for the lamps being lighted, that's so our light will shine forth for the whole world to see and know that we're guests of the bridegroom.
Why don't you be a good girl and lend me some of your oil?
Oh, yes, I need some.
If you used our oil, it wouldn't be your light shining. Also, if we give you some of ours, we may not have enough for ourselves.
Why don't you buy some oil?
We'll have to. Come on, girls, hurry, lest the bridegroom come while we are gone.
Yes, come on, we'll go get some oil.
Oh, I do hope they get back in time. It would be a shame to miss the wedding merely because of the lack of oil.
Behold, the bridegroom is here. Come ye forth to meet him.
And they who were ready went in with the bridegroom to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Lord, open the door that we may enjoy the wedding.
Oh, yes, please open the door. Let us see.
Lord, open the door to us.
Verily, I say unto you, I know you not.
Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
A, God promises to answer me.
Have two children of my own, and of all the jobs I have, the most important one is to teach them what my father taught me, to trust and obey the Lord. And if you learn to follow Jesus now, while you're still young, you'll never lose your way, even when you're older.
Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even old. When he is old, he will not depart from it.
What are you doing, Sam?
64, 65. I'm counting my steps. 66, 67, 68.
Why?
Because to be totally healthy, you need to take at least 10,000 steps a day. I'm keeping track. 72, 73, 74.
How many so far today?
4,878, 79.
I'm glad you're trying to be healthy.
You can help me count. My tongue gets tired.
I heard that walking keeps your blood moving, brings fresh oxygen to your brain so you can think better, and makes your bones strong. How are your bones?
Hard as steel.
It's also good for your heart. How's your heart feel?
Tired.
Maybe we should rest.
Good idea.
So why all this sudden interest in health?
Well, my dad said that his doctor told him that if he doesn't exercise more, he could have a heart attack. The doctor told him to start walking 10,000 steps a day. So I told dad if he'd walk, I'd walk.
You're a very supportive son.
I try.
You know, there is an easy way of keeping track of your walking.
There is?
Sure, just walk an hour a day. That's what I read in school. Just walk briskly for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and then 30 minutes after supper. That way you don't have to count.
Hey, that is easier. Let's try it. Do you have a watch?
No. Don't you?
91, 92, 93.
Maybe we should walk to the store. I think they're having a sale on watches.
96.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is One Friendly Voice. Ken stirred the bubbling cereal while Marianne kept whining, "When's my cereal going to be ready, Kenny?" In a minute, Marianne What can I get for you, Mom? Ken looked at his mother, where she lay on the sofa. Her black eyes seemed too large for her small white face. It seemed unusual to have Mom so quiet. Most mornings, she was flying around getting breakfast and prodding pokey Marianne into hurrying so that she could take her to Grandma's on the way to work. Now Mom closed her eyes and said softly, "Don't bother getting me anything now. I'll be hungry later." Then she began coughing again. The doctor had called it severe bronchitis and said Mom needed a rest. Ken set the cereal on the table and gave it a final stir. He squared his broad shoulders. Somehow he would have to help Mom get well. His black eyes shone with determination. "Come on, Marianne, let's eat. Then I'll have to get to school. You'll have to take care of Mom while I'm gone." "Sure, I can take care of her," Marianne chattered on while Ken thought about his problems. This evening, he would have to do some laundry. He had put on his last pair of clean jeans this morning. Mom just wasn't able to rinse the clothes and hang them outdoors. He'd give a lot for a clothes dryer like Dan Jenkins' mother had, but things hadn't been easy for them since Daddy died. Mother had a good job, but a secretary didn't earn enough for such luxuries as automatic washers and dryers. Ken really didn't mind doing laundry. It wasn't such hard work. What bothered him was that some of the boys might see him outdoors hanging up the clothes. He was sure they'd think he was a sissy. Ken knew that Dan Jenkins wouldn't be caught dead helping his mother. He sighed. If word got around that he was doing women's work, he wouldn't get very many votes when the boys chose the pitcher for their softball team. Maybe he could hang the clothes indoors. But no, there wasn't enough room. One short line in the bathroom wouldn't hold more than a few of Marianne's little dresses. Ken felt tired all day. He missed 5 problems in math, which was his favorite subject. He struck out 3 times when they played softball. By the middle of the afternoon, his head was drooping and his feet dragged. When he finally got home, Mom was still lying on the sofa trying not to cough. He took her medicine and asked, "Did you eat anything at all today, Mom?" "Oh, yes," Mom tried to smile and look bright. "Marianne fixed me 2 pieces of toast, and I ate them both, didn't I, Marianne?" "Yes, she did," the little girl nodded, "but I had to scold her pretty hard or she wouldn't have." "Mom, you're not getting well fast enough. When do you go back to the doctor?" Ken felt bowed down with cares. "In a day or so," Mom said, and closed her eyes again. "Well, I'll have to do some laundry. All my jeans are dirty. Where's the soap, Mom?" "Oh, Ken, I wish you didn't have to. I should have sent the things out to the laundry." Ken wished he'd gone looking for the soap himself. This was just one more thing for Mom to worry about. "Don't worry, Mom," he said. "I'm sure I can do it. I used to help you last summer, remember?" Mom smiled a little. "Yes, I remember you never hung out the clothes. You always preferred staying in the basement with the washing machine." "I'll have to hang up clothes tonight," Ken sighed again. Then, armed with the soap and carrying a big basket full of dirty laundry, he started to the basement. Marianne tagged along, offering all sorts of helpful advice. "Don't put in too much soap, Kenny. Be sure the clothes are clean, Kenny," until Ken felt like throwing a blanket over her head. The washing part wasn't too bad. Ken remembered to sort the clothing, although he did absentmindedly throw a white T-shirt in with his blue jeans. It came out a dirty blue-gray. Then Ken was ready to hang out clothes. He picked up the heavy basket and slung the clothespin bag over his shoulder. "Well, here goes," he thought. "I hope all the neighbors are indoors watching television or something." But Ken knew the boys usually went by his house on their way to practice softball. He would have to miss practice this afternoon. Jim Carson had said he'd stop for him, but Ken had told him not to. Jim was one of the most popular boys around. Ken had hoped someday to claim him as a friend. At the clothesline, he picked up one of Marianne's dresses and pinned it firmly. He worked fast. Several times he looked over his shoulder to see whether someone was watching. "I feel like a thief," he realized guiltily. "What have I got to be ashamed of? I'm only helping my mother." But these thoughts did not keep him from jumping when he heard Dan's sing-song voice. "Well, if it isn't Mommy's little boy playing housewife." Ken kept on hanging up the clothes, but he felt a tight sickness inside his stomach. And turning to face Dan, he felt even worse. With Dan were most of the boys on the softball team. Some were grinning with scorn. Jim Carson stood in the background. "Playing housewife," one of them giggled. Ken felt a hard knot of disappointment form inside. He would never be a pitcher for this softball team. He stood there for a moment with his head down, while a few of the boys went on making insulting remarks. Then he finished hanging up the clothes and hurried back into the basement. How was he going to live for the next few weeks while Mother was ill? At the supper table, he tried to act cheerful. He thought he was putting up a pretty good front until Mom said, "You look tired, Ken. Why not go to bed and rest? Maybe tomorrow will be brighter." Ken sighed. Maybe Mom was right. He went to bed and dreamed that he socked Dan in the jaw. In the dawn, he almost wished he really had. On the way to school, Jim Carson fell into step beside him. Ken kept his head down, waiting for Jim to tease him about yesterday. Jim cleared his throat. "Mom told me that your mom is sick," he began. Ken nodded. He wished Jim would say what he wanted to and then leave him alone. Jim cleared his throat again. Ken looked up and saw that Jim's blue eyes were sober. "It must be rough for you with your mom not able to work." "Oh, it's not so bad," Ken's voice was gruff. Sympathy was the last thing he'd expected. "I just wanted to tell you that you can bring your laundry to our house." Jim hurried on, talking so fast his words tumbled into each other. "Mom said she'd help out until your mother is better. Then you'd have more time to practice, since you'll be our new pitcher." What? Had he heard correctly? The new pitcher? Ken couldn't help smiling. "I'll tell my mother," he agreed. He walked faster. It would be nice to have someone else do the laundry, but right now he felt able to do anything by himself. Strange what one friendly voice could do to you.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.